Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast. It's 2020 and this is the first podcast back. We're just chatting off camera, me and producer Guy who's with me as well.
You forgot how to use your brain then when it came to speaking.
I think starting the podcast is one of the hardest things to do. Like starting a video, it's like, hey guys, or I'm here or whatever. With a podcast, it's like you go super like, hey guys, welcome to the Rick Shields podcast. Or just go like what we did and laugh and start the podcast. But anyway, we are back for 2020. I believe this is podcast episode number 10. We had last week off as it was the Christmas period. But more importantly, because we wanted to save some news that we can talk about today, because TaylorMade have announced their new driver lineup today, and we're going to discuss it a little bit in this podcast, but also tell you about the video that's just gone live on the YouTube channel, depending when you listen to this podcast, so you can watch the full review. Loads of exciting clubs are coming out in 2020. We have been thoroughly testing over the last few weeks, and believe me when I say January, February is new product season.
It is, and I've not hit any of it yet.
I have, thankfully. So TaylorMade drivers have just dropped. They are called the SIM, S-I-M, Shape in Motion. The whole idea of it is supposed to be more aerodynamic to help you as a golfer pick up more clubhead speed and then hit the ball further. That's the big claims. Long story short, it's a big metal kind of...
It's called an inertia generator.
Yeah, some kind of metal contraption on the back of the driver underneath, obviously, that helps with the airflow around the driver head. It's very similar to what Cobra did with their Speed back in the past, and it's not too dissimilar to what TaylorMade have done with their M6 lineup last year. They've just made that section at the back, the butt end, let's say, much bigger and slightly angled towards the toe, because they reckon as the club comes down, that's the angle that the club's going to be more likely in. I suppose that's in the perfect scenario. It's a good looking driver.
Yeah,
I've got to say that. There's a chalk white top on crown. It's very similar to the M2, M3, M4, M5, M6 that we've seen in the past, and M1, where it's kind of a carbon crown with a contrast between the front edge. It's got speed injected twist face again, so it's where the face is twisted to help off-centered hits apparently still find more fairways, and speed injected to increase the ball speed. And what TaylorMade have claimed, it's the fastest they can ever make the ball speed. So they've now started to switch ideas and try and make the club head speed faster.
I'm sold.
I know, that sounded like an ad read.
No. I think one thing...
That's more just the tech.
Regardless of performance, which we'll obviously come on to in a moment, and you know whether all this marketing spiel actually works, one thing TaylorMade do a very good job of is when they bring out a new driver, weirdly, the old one looks old. So with the new one, the little twist face screws are now blue as opposed to red. Now that shouldn't make any difference whatsoever. But now when I look back at, because I've got an M5 in the bag, when I look at the red screws, it looks dead old. I'm like, oh, I want the blue one now. Now, I don't think Cobra did that with the new SZ drive, SZ. I think about how to say it now. It's SZ, isn't it? Not SC, SZ. That doesn't look any better than the F9, but definitely the SIM, I think, is starting to look newer and fresher. That chalk white, like you said, looks really good.
It's a bit like a new iPhone. Like when the iPhone 11 Pro came out with the three cameras at the back, I was like, oh, what is that? That's awful. I've now got one and I absolutely love it. Yeah. You know, and it becomes more of a fashion accessory where you'll see phones now with the three cameras and become more used to it. Already we're seeing scenes from Hawaii where Dustin Johnson's got it in the bag, Matt Wolf, etc., a lot of the TaylorMade players, and it already just looks... It looks appealing. It looks modern. When the first time I saw it, the first time we got images of it, I was so underwhelmed.
The colour to me at first looked like a budget package set. The kind of light blue. As I said, it's grown on me. But back on that point you said about the players are all using it, in one way, that should be a massive accolade for TaylorMade. The players are already trusting it and putting it in the bag and going playing tournaments with it. But maybe it's me being a bit...
They have to.
Yeah. First thing I think is, well, they're paid to. But secondly, if it was actually different, would the players put it in the bag yet? Because even sometimes when difference is better, so when a club is better, players still don't quite want to put it in the bag yet because they're not quite used to it. But if it's such an easy switch, can it be any different?
What would be interesting for me is if the first event back was a massive tournament. Mm-hmm. The one in Hawaii, I can't remember what it's called, TC something or other. I can't remember what it's called. It's not a big tournament. You know, they come back and it's kind of quite relaxed and, you know, they're wearing shorts and they're showing off the new products and some golfers have signed new contracts and new clothing deals, etc. It feels more like an exhibition tournament. You know, it's quite an easy golf course from what I've seen in the past. There's always that hole where Dustin Johnson seems to drive it on the green downhill par four at like 400 yards and TaylorMade are claiming it's the new driver, this, that and the other. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens. I think also you'll probably start to see glimpses of the new Callaway driver starting to go in play as well. I won't digress into that too much because that's coming soon. But yeah, I think there's a couple of things that I definitely think the TaylorMade players, there's got to be something in the contract where they have to put it in play this tournament, first tournament back.
Yeah, you think so.
But I must admit, you often see TaylorMade players switch into new drivers very quickly.
You do. And again, is that they are always just better? They've got to put in the bag straight away. They want that distance gain. They want that ball speed gain. Or is it the fact that actually they're not that much different, so it's easy to swap?
Possibly, yeah. And also, I mean, that'll be a big one, you know, because obviously now we're moving away from the M lineup. M has been around, how long has M been around now?
2016 was the first one. Then they had a 2017 version of the same numbers, M1, M2. And then they had 2018 was M3, M4. And then 2019 was M5, M6.
Oh, God, yeah. So there's been like four versions of the M drivers. And now that lineup's gone, I can't imagine it's going to come back. I fully expected. I didn't, but I also wouldn't have surprised me if we just saw M7 and M8 this year. I think M8 would have been funny.
What about if they brought back the R series and it was R20? That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. Because Sim, where'd you go with Sim? Sim 2? I mean, we're thinking in the future here, but it doesn't feel like it's quite as easy to continue the lineup. Anyway.
Speaking of lineup, though, there's three drivers.
You know what? You read my mind. There are three drivers. There's the standard Sim, which the standard Sim has got now one adjustable weight. It's very much more like SLDR, where the weight's moved way closer to the face in a weight track that is, you know, maybe half an inch away from the actual club face. It's just one weight. You can put it in all across the sliding bar into an extreme fade setting and into an extreme draw setting, which I do test in the video. And, you know, there's no point in keeping any spoilers. It's not a magic wand. The weight doesn't make a massive difference. And just be careful of that, because I think sometimes we can get a bit lost in weights and what they can do. It'll make a very small difference to a robot, but to a human being hitting golf balls, because it's in fade, doesn't mean every shot's going to fade perfectly down the middle of the fairway. There is then this big inertia generator at the back. There is more aerodynamic features around the face, where these like little these little dimple effects around the heel, which again is supposed to increase air restriction. Where the TaylorMade Sim Max is more like the M6 driver. It's not adjustable bar the hosel, which again, sorry, that is a feature of the Sim as well, where you can go up and down by 2 degrees. But the Sim Max has no adjustable weights. For me, when I hit it, I actually preferred the Sim Max, and seeing early images again of these tour players playing in Hawaii, the Sim Max is very featured heavily along a lot of the players. And then there's the Sim Max D-Type, which is a draw version where the inertia generator has been moved a little bit more towards the toe to help even more draw bias to a degree, and the weighting system slightly changed in it as well. Price-wise, they've come down haven't they?
The Sim normal, want of a better word, with the adjustable weight is now $479, whereas last year the M5 at retail when it launched was $499, so it's about £20 cheaper, but you know, that might be due to the dollar conversion. I'm not so sure. And then obviously the kind of normal version. That's the problem this year. I want to call them both the normal version, because normally I would call a non-movable weighted driver the normal one. But this year, the Sim Max is the...
I think they would have been better calling the Sim Max Sim.
Yeah.
And then the Sim Sim Tour.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or Sim Plus. Yeah. Or
it's a bit confusing, but the Sim Max and the kind of more fixed one is 449, which is the same price as the M6, which is the one it's replacing. As I said, looks-wise, I think they do look nice. I wasn't blown away initially, but it's one of those things I think were tailor-made again. They do kind of grow on you over time. Once you start seeing Dustin Johnson smacking it 400 yards, as you said, with one, and Rory one in the bag, and Tiger, etc., it does start to grow on you. I think that's one thing, although we know they just pay a fortune for it, but the stable of athletes tailor-made have, with their drivers in particular, it does make you think, wow, like, if these guys are using it, it must be good. But yeah, obviously they're getting paid squillions of dollars to use it. But on to performance. Obviously, I've not hit it yet. I think the reason I've not hit it more than anything is whenever we go out filming, I have got five layers on. So although I'm tempted, I think, oh, I can't bother trying to hit this now, so I'll just hit it rubbish. But you've hit it not so rubbish. You hit it quite well. And how many yards did you gain over M5?
Well, this is the big one, isn't it? This is what you've all been waiting for. So the gains over M5 this year in 2020...
Drum roll.
...was a grand total of 1 yard.
Wow.
So I carried the Sim 1 yard further than M5. And if I'm honest, the reason being more than anything was actually just a little bit of difference in spin rate from when I tested it. I tested it on the same day with M5, the same shaft. So I tested a lot... testing process, as soon as we got it in the studio, I took it down to the driving range at Trafford Golf Center and smashed it. You know, I just wanted to get a feel for the drivers. Initially, I could start to see a bit of a difference between the two. Sim Max was a little bit higher flighted, a little bit more spinny, when standard Sim was actually possibly even too low spinning, but came out more of a bullet. I took both drivers out on the golf course then and saw them same similarities again. If I'm really trying to smash Sim, when the weight is at the front, where it is, obviously that's where that weight track is, it can go a long way, but it just doesn't spin very much. It really reminds me, and I say it in the video, of the SLDR driver from a number of years ago, where the weight for, you know, all this loft up story, super low spinning. If you loft it up and crush it, then it kind of works. And I think you're going to see that a little bit in the Sim this year. It wouldn't surprise me if loft up story almost slightly comes back into play potentially with Sim. And then Sim Max for me was a much more forgiving driver. I felt like the flight was much higher, a little bit more spin, but equal on distance. Then I went to the golf studio at Quest Golf Academy, tested the three heads. And when I say the three heads, it was Sim, Sim Max, and M5 from last year in the same shaft, exactly the same setup, same loft, 9.75 degrees in the Diamana shaft, X-Stiff. And I was mainly looking for club head speed differences.
Mm. Well, that's the main story, I guess.
Because that's what they're saying. Sim and Sim Max are going to go... You're going to be able to swing it faster than M5, therefore hit it further. On the test, there was... I mean, and I hit a lot of golf shots in the test.
You got a sweat on.
I did. It was hot. I still had the layers on from the out on the golf course. And basically, there was no difference.
No, I think the actual averages that we present in the video, there was a 0.4 mile an hour club head speed gain on the Sim. But one thing that we wanted to discuss more in depth on this podcast, which we do touch on the video, but I think it's good with you guys listening who've probably got a little bit longer, you might be in the car or whatever, we can go through this a bit more, is that 0.4 of mile an hour is not a gain, because Rick obviously is a human. He's not a robot. So although his swing is consistent, he's obviously a good player at a good level.
Thanks, pal.
Well, okay, player at an okay level. You are going to see naturally differences between your swing from shot to shot anyway. So we did a little mini test where we actually got Rick in a 4-iron and hit like 5 or 6 shots, and then the exact same club, exactly the same situation again, and I think your club head speed varied by 0.3, which is really consistent. Like, that is, I used to fit amateur golfers, and Rick being within 0.3 of a mile an hour is super consistent. But obviously there's no, that gain, if you like, can't be contributed to the golf club because it was the same golf club. So it just shows when there was a 0.4 again gain, if we call it a gain, with the Sim over the M5, it wasn't really a gain. It was just your, I don't use the word inconsistency because it's very consistent, but that just human nature.
Yeah.
So long story short, there is absolutely, our testing and our findings, there was absolutely no evidence to suggest that the Sim would help you swing it faster than an M5.
No. And we stand by that, and the fact that, you know, as Guy mentioned, it was so lit. If it was, I mean, for us, a noticeable difference really, you've got to be looking at maybe 2 miles per hour.
Yeah, I would say 2 to 3.
Yeah.
And I think even with distance, you've got to be looking at 6 to 7 to 8 yards consistently. Correct. For it to be the product and not just you hitting a better one over another.
Correct.
Shot.
So we, like I say, stress all this in the video, the fact that there is no difference. And if you are an M5, M6 owner, do not go out and buy SIM. You know, I just don't see it being worth it whatsoever. But if you've got a driver that's 4 or 5 years old, you know, maybe an R1 or an R11 or whatever lineup, you might start to see some differences. Or if you just fancy buying a SIM, there's nothing wrong with that as well. And you know, we mentioned that.
Exactly.
If you're a TaylorMade fan and you want the SIM because you see DJ and you want to impress your mates and you've got some cash to spend, well, go for it. Got some Christmas money.
And I think that's something we're discussing more and more in the videos, and we discuss more so, because there was a time when we would have almost been like, yeah, if you have an M5, it's absolutely no point going buying it. But some people, and it's fine, want to have the latest gear. And if you want to go out, if you've got an M5 now and you love TaylorMade, you love your golf, it's your main hobby, and you want the SIM because you want the new driver, then absolutely go and buy one. That's fine. But don't buy one with the assumption that it's going to make you a better player over an M5, because it won't.
It's going back to the old iPhone story again. I had an iPhone 10 and it was perfect, no problems with it. I moved up to the iPhone 11, which cost a lot more, but had minimal gains. Yeah. You know, a different camera, and that's
you,
it.
You kind of knew that.
Going into it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fine. I think also what TaylorMade is saying with this inertia generator at the back, that it helps the club have a really high MOI and it's more stable. You're going to hit more shots on the fairway, etc. Again, we didn't really find that, did we? It was very, very similar to the M5. So overall, really, a little bit harsh, but it's an M5, M6 with a bit of a paint job, let's be honest.
It's now a blue colour.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're still trying to push it. They've put this big advert out yesterday, I think it was, where... Have you seen that one?
No, not
so. It's like a little advert, and it's talking about, we'll only stop getting better once you tell us you're done, or something like that. Yeah. And you've got Tiger, DJ, Jason Day, Rory, and basically they're saying, we're going to continue to push the boundaries, evolve until you're happy, basically. Because I do think they're starting to struggle.
100%. And another thing I think is interesting is...
I don't mean TaylorMade, I just mean just manufacturers.
Yeah, exactly.
And making product better.
Roughly with a driver, and this can vary from player to player, but roughly, if all factors are perfect, 1 man-hour of club head speed could gain you roughly between 2 and let's say 4 yards, but really more about 3 yards of distance if everything was kind of perfect. So let's just say TaylorMade found on a robot that the SIM was 0.1 of a mile an hour faster swing speed than M5, that would equate to roughly like what, 0.3 of a yard, if that. But I don't know what the threshold is where a brand can claim it's faster, because surely if it is 0.0001 of a mile an hour faster, in theory it's faster. So with these claims that TaylorMade have, I wonder what, by the legal standpoint, it has to be for them to claim it. Like, we found there was literally no difference on a human. But if it is, again, 0.0001 of a mile an hour faster, then I suppose by law it's faster.
But if they see on a robot the same test as us and it was 0.4...
Then they would claim that.
And ...miles per hour faster, yeah. is that enough?
Well, it would be a yard and a half, maybe. And I suppose they could say, well, it's black and white, it's faster. But
the only one strange thing, and we pulled it up with TaylorMade, did they never really say how much more difference, let's say, the best players in the world get. They always say, oh yeah, they're definitely hitting it better.
Yeah.
Well, tell me.
I think they learned the lesson with the 17-yard claim, didn't they, on the rocket balls, that they want to keep those figures in-house. But at the same time, I'm sure if Rory gained 6 yards, they'd absolutely shout from the rooftops that Rory's gained 6 yards. So I think the fact that they're not shouting about yardage gain probably is the fact that there's not really a gain at all.
Yeah, exactly. I started the video by saying SIM, or SIM, stands for speed in motion, but also we simply think it's a slightly improved marketing, because a lot of it comes from that side of it as well. But check out the video, let me know what you think in the video. Like I say, hopefully in this podcast we can dive into a little bit more detail. That's what we're going to use this podcast for moving into 2020. We are going to up the amount of videos we release on YouTube this year, which we're really excited about, continuing with the fantastic support that we're getting on Facebook, certainly from the Facebook Rick Shields podcast page, which we're loving. They're nearly up to 7,000
flying
what do you call people
group
in
members,
there?
I guess
members. Yeah.
The badges are showing now as well.
They are.
I see a lot of founder members who are the guys that have been there from day one. Shout out them. They've got like a little leaf logo, I think it
is. Did you get one of them?
Yeah, I have.
Did I get one?
I don't know if you did, actually. I don't think you... Did you...
I don't think I joined from my personal page, did
you
I?
You are now, I think. But and then there's a lot of...
I'm admin, actually. You're admin, that's why.
I made you an admin. then there's conversation starters. There's like... But it feels like, which is really good, the traction. I didn't know if it would slow down a bit, but it's absolutely not. It's really flying.
Just as we're on there now, I'm just... accepting another 35 members who have just come back into the Rick Shields podcast. Let's see if they're listening. Mark Crisp, Dave Watkins, Jeremy Richardson, Gareth Chambers. I don't know if this is private information we shouldn't share, but anyway, you've all just been accepted to the Rick Shields podcast
group.
We've
also, I asked a question last night. I said that we were recording the podcast. There's loads of questions. We will dive into some of them before later on. But I have got something I want to announce. First off, we have got our very, very first listener of the week. So,
I'll try and get a better tune than that.
No, that's perfect. So we've also got an email address. So it's podcast@rickshields.com. And we really encourage you guys to send us emails. Let us know how you're getting on, if you're enjoying the podcast, any goals you've got for the season, what videos you're liking, just anything you want to send us, feel free to send us an email. We'll try and get back to as many as we can. We had an email from Justin Heeks. So that's, I think it's Heeks, H-E-E-K-S. And he sent a really nice email, quite a long email, saying that he's a big fan of the podcast. He's currently playing off 12. He follows you on Twitter, Rick. He's not actually on Facebook, so he's missing out on the Facebook group, but he's a Twitter user, and he loves the podcast.
I can't believe people don't have Facebook.
Yeah, but anyway. He was saying that he's got some Strix Nines, but he was also laughing about the... head covers story, and he'd seen some guy at the head cover at the range, sorry, with head covers, and he was kind of laughing at him.
I feel like I don't know if sales went up of head covers over Christmas
down.
Or massively
people
down
burning the head covers. Yeah. But basically just a really nice email saying that he loves the content, loves the videos, loves the podcast. So thanks so much, Justin. You are officially the first ever Rick Shields Golf Show podcast listener of the week.
Wow,
we salute you.
Thank you so much. So yeah, guys, if you want to get involved and want to become the listener of the week, make sure you drop us an email. Or get in touch with any forms necessary, but podcast@rickshields.com. Links are in the description. I'll put that email down there as well. But yeah, thanks for the support. The podcast has been flying. We've been loving making it. Like I say, it was a shame we had to miss a week last week, but I think it was needed, and then we're back up and running again. We've got loads of questions, haven't we, as well, Togai?
We've absolutely got loads, but I always feel like once we start looking at questions, I almost can't find any, but there actually is loads. So let me find one straight away. Do you guys have any weird superstitions? That's from Andrew Anthony, who's a conversation starter.
Superstitions. I feel like I have had them in the past, but they never last. I feel like I remember when I went to America one time, this was a number of years ago, and I went to Vegas, and I did quite well on the roulette table. And when I finished playing roulette, or whatever it was, I had... what do you call them? Like a cent, a dime. Mm. What's a dime? Like 25 cent. It's like a silver coin. Anyway, I had like a silver coin. I think it's a dime. And I remember feeling like that was my lucky coin because I'd done quite well at the roulette table. So for months and possibly even a year later, I used that particular coin as my ball marker. I've actually still got that coin at home, but I no longer use it as a ball marker. That might be where I've been going wrong all these years, because I reckon that was about 2012 when I did that. And that might have been when I used to break 80.
Those were the days.
Those were the days, breaking 80. So I might actually try and dig that back out again. But bar that, number golf ball I use.
No,
that
I
doesn't
don't.
Bother me.
One weird one I've always had since being a junior, and it shouldn't really be a superstition. This should just be what you do, but it is. I always remember as a junior, like, if I hit a shot like out the rough or out the fairway or whatever it might be, and I took a big divot, now obviously you should put that back. But as a junior, not every junior used to always put the divot back. But I used to think if I don't put the divot back and repair the course would be nice to me. Now that sounds really bizarre, but it's kind of stuck. Now obviously I know etiquette-wise you should always repair your pitch marks and things, but it kind of gave me that extra incentive to actually do it, because I felt like if I don't look after this course, I'm going to get some bad bounces and stuff. And it's still, weirdly, I do that today. But you should always put your divots back anyway.
So effectively, the greenkeeper should have the most look around the golf course, right? yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting. Has he asked that as a question? Has anyone answered it as well or not?
Cody Haney, said that he has to keep a T under the left side of his hat. And then Andrew actually said in his question that he has to put his left sock on first, otherwise he plays bad. Which sock do you put on first? I think I do put my right sock on first, but without thinking about it.
I think I go left first. The only thing I'll sometimes do, and I quite like this, it's almost living on the edge. I have socks that I've left and right on. They are golf socks that I've left and right on.
You just whack one on.
I quite like it sometimes when I've not got them on the right feet. Like if my left is on my right, my right's on my left. I'm pleased with that. Sometimes if it goes to plan, I feel like I've used a level of my look if I get them on the right feet in the morning.
But you do know that some of the like Nike sports socks are designed for your foot. So if you put it on the wrong one, you're not getting the most out of your sock.
Oh.
Because if you think about the angle of your toes down to your little toe, they're kind of shaped more.
These aren't Nike socks.
You walked a bit.
I'm going to chat now. Just one sec.
What am I doing? Sorry, everyone. Why are you driving? You've got left on left.
I'm doing all right today.
Yeah, that's a good sock. It's a very it looks comfy.
Yeah, it's not Nike.
All right, okay.
I don't think I'm allowed to shout out what I'm wearing. I've always worn these.
Oh, I think I know what they are. No, I actually know what.
To be fair, I must admit these socks that I'm wearing are probably the comfiest socks ever out of the packet. Anyway, we digress. I mentioned it before, and we'll come back to some questions in a minute. I mentioned it before, but Callaway Maverick, that's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Testing has started with that. Video will be coming soon. You might have seen Xander Schauffele use it in the President's Cup and also started to put it in the bag. That also has somewhat of a similar story to TaylorMade. We can't say too much just yet, but stay tuned for that. You'll see more January the 14th. So put that date in your diary. That's when you'll start to see. Is that a Monday? No, it can't be, can it? Is it a Tuesday? Either way, I think that might be what the next podcast... Oh, that's great. Oh, no, it's not great. 13th is next Monday, and 14th is when Callaway drops.
Oh, so it'll be the day before. Maybe we can throw in some spoilers.
Yeah, yeah. What else?
So, this is a good question, and it's hard to answer, but let's have a go. So Aaron Devine has said that what's the best driver for someone who's starting out?
For me, it's if I'm honest, it's one without bells and whistles. It's something that's not movable. It's not too super expensive. That even something like that Cleveland HB launcher, it's fixed. You don't have to change the loft too much. You're not getting too complicated with thinking, is it the club or you? It's get it in a bit of loft, get it in like an 11 degree head, which isn't going to give you the greatest distance just yet, but don't worry about that. Or even like a ping fixed head or something second hand. I think that there's two things you need to look for. If you're a new golfer and you're looking for a driver, go with loft. Let loft be your friend. Don't worry too much about distance. Just even if it's 11, 12, 13 degrees of loft, something that's very easy to hit, and use it as a stepping stone. So maybe don't spend loads of money on your first driver. Think about having it in the bag for maybe a year or so until you get used to hitting driver. And then you might want to treat yourself to something slightly more expensive. Yeah. I just wouldn't go straight into a sim driver if you're brand new, because I just don't see any benefits at all. It'd be like jumping in the Ferrari when you've not even passed your test.
But also you
wouldn't if you wrapped it around the tree.
Very true.
I think go for something that's quite bog standard. Again, like you were passing your driving test for the first time, something not too powerful, something not too expensive, a stepping stone into your next car, potentially a little Nissan Micra or a Vauxhall Corsa. I'm trying to think of America cars. What do they have?
Chevrolet, I feel like.
But like, what's like a new car? I feel like they have like beach buggies. They have Teslas. They go straight to Teslas, yeah. Don't they, in America? We watch too much David Dobrik.
Yeah. All you Americans listening, we expect you all have a Tesla.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Living in California,
they just jump straight into like a Range Rover or a Jeep or a, you know, whatever. But and something small, start off something easy, and build your way up. And that I would go that with all clubs when you first start off. Don't go all out spending loads of money. Get something that's secondhand that's going to give you a lot of help and that potentially might change in a year's time.
I feel like Aaron's either going to think that was the best answer ever, or he just wanted you to say Ping G410. That's a good answer, I think. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. The only thing I would say is almost, and it's not really answering this question, but don't really worry about your drive if you're new. Just go and play and practice, because it's like, I'm going to use the darts analogy again, because we've been playing loads of darts, which you'll know if you listen to the last podcast. But we're getting a little bit better at darts, but I'm fully aware that the darts aren't affecting my performance. It's just I'm not very good at darts.
And the other thing we've realised today, we're standing about 6 inches too far away from the board, which has made things harder. And now it's almost like we started on the championship tees.
Yeah, we started on the
and we've just moved up to the yellows. Yeah. We're flying now.
In darts terms, I would say I currently hit the ball 180 yards off the tee. And Rick can be like 200 yards, but can also be 130. Yeah. Really wild. Another good question. It's really long, so I'm going to cut through it a little bit. It's from Rob Campbell, again on the Facebook group, who's also a conversation starter. So very well done for getting that little badge. It means a lot to see these badges next to people's names. He basically says, why is the draw the most sought after shot shape? And is it because most people have a slice, which is kind of the opposite? So my quick take on that is probably got some truth in that. Most golfers slice it or fade it, so a draw has always been perceived as going further, which we now know through TrackMan and things isn't necessarily the case always, obviously. But actually, on tour, I'd say that fade's become the new in shot, hasn't it?
Way more in shot. Yeah, I would agree with, you know, what you said at the start. What was his name, sorry?
It's Rob Campbell.
So I think I would agree with what you said, Rob, in the fact that a fade is so connected to a slice for amateur golfers. You know, the old saying that a fade is like a slice is like a power fade. And I think it has this negative connotation when you see golfers that, you know, you're starting the ball up the left and it's moving to the right, because a slice does lose distance. So therefore you then think a less of a slice, a fade, should also lose distance. Yeah. But there's no, as Guy said, with TrackMan, GC quads, etc., there's no reason why a fade should hit it shorter if you present the same club head speed and the same strike location, etc. With a draw, you're right. I think draws back in the day, I always feel like Tiger, when he was dominating, when he was hitting that big three, would draw around the 13th at Augusta. That was super, super, you know, the time where distance was key. They were trying to hit it as hard as they could. They could hit this big slinging draw. Technology wasn't quite as good, so they needed all the help they could get. But then over time, golfers wanted to start seeing, certainly professional tour players wanted to see more of a consistent miss. Mm-hmm. And with a draw, often you will hook it.
Yeah.
And with a hook, that's dangerous, certainly around a golf championship golf course, because, you know, if you're a drawer of the ball, it's easier to hook it. So if you're a professional golfer, a bit like me, I can draw it, but I often get a little bit of a snap hook. I'm not as bad anymore. I feel like I'm starting to favour more the right side of the golf course, if I'm honest. Where with a fade, if you're a really good golfer, it's very hard to hit a slice when you're a fader. You have to really get it badly wrong to hit a slice. Therefore, if you know you're always going to fade it, you're going to completely avoid the left side of the golf course. You can start up the left and move it to the right with some level of consistency. I remember Jordan Spieth talking about this in an actual podcast I listened to, and he said, you know, he won around Augusta, even though Augusta's seen as a draw golf course off the tee. Hitting into greens, a lot of the time you want to fade it, because if you miss short right, you're okay. Mm-hmm. There's one hole you cannot miss short right, and that's the 12th, mm-hmm. the par 3 over the water. Yeah. And that's unfortunately where he hit that bad shot in 2015, was it, where he dunked two in the water and whatever. So anyway, long story short, a fade has become more of a sought-after shot with professional golfers, but I do believe draws are still quite desirable for amateur golfers. Yeah. But they shouldn't obsess about it. No, they really shouldn't.
Like you said, we know from TrackMan now that a draw and a fade, with all, you know, everything else the same, strike location, angle of attack, etc., would go exactly the same distance. But in real terms, for the average golfer, a draw would go further than a fade, or because typically the fade is going to have a more open face, more loft, etc., more spin. So I think that's probably why most people want to hit a draw.
There's also evidence in the fact that if you are trying to hit a draw shot, the club coming from the inside actually does pick up more club head speed. Mm. But again, there's always fears that you might end up hitting bad shots.
So, Mike...
Just one on that. If someone said to me right now, you are going to hit the same shaped golf shot for the rest of your life, nothing's going to change, I'd snatch the hand off.
Yeah.
If I knew that I hit a 10-yard fade, I'd snatch the hand off.
100%.
If I knew I was going to hit a 10-yard draw, I'd snatch the hand off. All I want is to know, if I start up the right, I'm going to draw it. If I start up left, I'm going to fade it on demand every single time.
Makes sense.
Which at the moment is not what I do.
Mike, I don't know how to say this surname. It's Stathchen, so Stratton possibly. Anyway, good question. He's basically said there's lots of discussion on fittings and their importance lately, but he's curious to know what we would think is the most important fitting to get done. So whether it be irons, driver, wedges, putter, etc. So obviously I used to be a fitter. I think that's quite a broad question, but for me, I probably would say irons, only because it's the clubs that you literally use the most on the golf course. I, from experience once, I remember before I worked in my old job, I had a set of AP2s. They actually, the set that were before the 710s, the ones that actually have a number on. And I bought them, I think, 3 degrees upright because they were secondhand. I since got them. I got them changed to be standard. But when they were 3 degrees upright, every shot, certainly with the shorter irons, had missed miles left. So it was literally having a massive impact on my game. And obviously, you hit your irons, as I said, more times than any of the clubs. So I would probably say irons. What would you say?
Don't know. It's a good question, isn't it?
But then again, you could argue, if you had a putter that was horrendous for you, if you had a putter, let's be silly, but if you had a putter that was 38 inches long and the old Titleist bullseye shape, and you struggled with alignment and you wanted a 32-inch putter, it would be horrendous. And you use your putter 30 times around.
But I also feel like if you got a bad wedge fitting where your gapping was not good, and yeah, you had to then, you know, you got stuck between yardages a lot. But then again, if you had a driver that was three, yeah, you know, I did a little test in the sim video where I put it in 7 degrees, couldn't hit it to save my life, put it up to 11 degrees and hit it too high, but I could play with it.
It's a hard question.
And then lastly, ball fitting. Mm. I would possibly put that as the lowest.
Yeah, I would.
If I'm honest, I'm going to try and rank these. I would go ball fitting
as the least
important.
See, I'd go wedges next least, personally. I feel like if you gave me 156-degree wedge and all my clubs or everything else, I feel like I'd be more... I could manipulate it, and I feel like even for beginner golfers, just having one wedge takes any confusion out of it.
Okay, no, I'd agree with that. And again, I think because we played so many different golf courses, and most people do, things like bounce and grind and stuff, yeah, can change so much. I know a lot of golfers get fit for their home golf course, but that's not where you play all the time. So yeah, I would agree with that. I'd go wedges second.
I'm going to go putter next. Most people don't have a putter fitting. I've never had one. And I'm a really good golfer. I'm joking.
Yeah, I feel like if you bought a putter off the shelf, standard, you can't go that far wrong.
No.
Really.
If you like it, obviously, because it's going to give you the confidence to hold more putts.
That's a good one, actually. Putter, driver or irons or three wood? Are we talking even talking about metal woods, that area?
Kind of goes within driver, I guess, but
Okay, I'll agree with putter. So we're on ball, wedges, putter.
Then I'd go driver, irons. So irons, I'd say, is the most important. But this is a funny question, because if we were saying about, say they're all off the shelf and you gave them to a golfer, I feel like an off the shelf set of irons wouldn't be a million miles off most people. But if you went to the extremes and gave somebody that needs a standard set of forgiven irons and gave them a 2 inches longer than standard, 5 degrees upright blade, it'd be horrendous for them.
That's where you'd say, again, if you gave a golfer a 7 degree double extra stiff driver, 2 inches longer, it'd be horrendous. That's the thing, it's the extremes. Where a ball, you can't go to the extremes. Wedges, again, you can go to the extremes, but what's the point? Apart from changing the lie angle and bounce. Irons, you're right, you've got obviously the shafts, the lie angles, the lofts, the length,
and even the
grips.
And a big thing with irons, I don't think you mentioned there, is actually the number of irons you need. Why should people don't really buy 3 irons anymore now, but if you were going to go and buy a set of irons and you bought them 3 irons a pitching wedge, but actually only needed to start them at 5 iron, you could get 2 hybrids in there that would help your game. I would say irons, probably.
As in most important?
Yeah, because I think the actual, forget about the fitting as such, the actual iron head can vary more. So although, yeah, a 7-degree drive and a 12-degree drive is going to be massive difference, blade,
it's still going to be a 460cc driver.
A blade that's very weak lofted or traditional lofted versus a super cranked up chunky head filled with foam and all sorts of stuff, I think that's going to make a bigger difference.
Yeah, and I suppose going back to, let's say, a golf bit of challenge I've done with Pete in the past when I'm going around the warehouse, I'm looking for, if I'm picking up a driver, I just want the shaft to be okay and the loft to be okay. If I'm picking up wedges, I just want the lofts to be okay. Mm-hmm. Putter, I just want the length to be okay more than anything. Irons, you're right, I want the right head shape, the right length, the right grip thickness, the right shafts. Other clubs, I can live without it being perfect. Okay, yeah, I'm going to agree with iron fitting is the most important.
Cool. That's a good question. Right.
Well, you are an ex-fitter as well, so I'll take your advice.
Yeah, thanks. So, another question, it's quite a good one. It's from George Baker, and he says, I think golf is one of the most exciting sports, but why is golf still seen as a boring game?
I honestly think, I'm just going to put this down to one thing, is it's the pace of play. Mm-hmm. As much as golf, if you watched highlights of golf, so only highlights, if you watch the best 10 shots of 2019, let's say, you show that to anybody, golf's exciting.
Yeah.
It's similar to if you showed the best 10 goals in football, football's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's the time between those amazing shots in golf that makes it not as fun. Because it's too stretched out.
But what about American football then?
I
don't watch it at all. Although I actually got a Raiders hoodie on. I don't know why. I don't even know any of the players. But what I mean is, when I watch American football, I think it's boring because of the stops in play. But obviously it's massive in America. So people, cricket isn't fast paced.
That's boring though, isn't it?
Well,
I think it is.
But I would say golf probably has a more perception by younger people as being boring than maybe cricket would. But I don't know, actually. I think the clothing and traditional clothing plays a part. So if you ever see anybody
Let's say when we film with Eddie Hall.
Yeah, and
Came dressed. He went online and went to Amazon and bought checked shorts and a flat cap. And that was his perception of what golf looks like.
Or if you ever, there's a thing in the UK where people go and play pub golf. So basically they'll go out with a group of friends and go to several pubs and it'll be like,
they're all in plus fours.
Yeah,
and
exactly. They wear a glove. They wear like a Pringle style sleeveless jumper. And when you compare that to today's modern fashion, it's so far away. It makes golf look old for older people and boring.
Well, in some regards, cricket fashion's never changed.
Yeah.
American football fashion's never changed. Football fashion, like, what other sport has the fashion changed so much?
That's a good question.
I don't think, because everyone else is uniformed in some degree.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't think of a single one.
But also as well, how, I always think this with golf, I think, is it actually seen as boring? I think it's certainly by younger people potentially, but I know a lot of people, like my friends and stuff, who have always played like football or soccer, you know, through their younger years, get to like 18, 19, 20 and start playing golf.
If I'm honest, I think the perception's changed with golf, because I always remember, my wife told me this the other day actually, So obviously when I met her, I was a golfer and she really wasn't impressed with that. Like, she was like, oh, great. And none of her friends were, when she used to say, oh, Rick's a golfer, or whatever, it wasn't that impressive. If we now, we went to a wedding recently and we got chatting to a couple we didn't know, and, you know, and he said, oh, what do you do? I said, I'm a golf pro. Like, they were like amazed by it. Like, they were like, oh my, you're a golf pro. Like,
and then you flex and said, well, yeah, and I break 80 quite often.
I'd had a few drinks by that point. So yeah, I was, so it's like, it was a weird, you know, my wife after said, it's funny because the reaction there that you got was so different to reactions, let's say 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because it was, I always, and people would like pull the face a bit when I used to say I was a golf pro 10 years ago. And maybe because maybe I was 10 years younger and I might have been too young for that or whatever. But it's definitely, the concept's changed. Then I said I was a YouTuber and that was like,
whoa.
I'm a Facebooker.
But then you said I'm a golf YouTuber. Oh, okay. Like Mr. Beast? No, I do golf stuff.
But like Mr. Beast, but just not as much high energy or money.
This is a good question.
To be fair, though, just a quick one on that. We are also trying to make golf less boring.
Yeah, 100%.
In the videos. We are trying to, you know, that's something that I am trying to get rid of that stigma. I want golf to not be perceived as boring. So the videos that we make, we are very conscious about that, you know. And that's even, you know, for the footwear that I used or the clothing or the equipment that I'm testing or the way that we shoot it, the music that we play or whatever, I do want it to be perceived as being fun.
And that's why I was brought into the podcast, to appeal to the younger, cooler generation.
Wow.
But that's also leads on to, this isn't a question, but something we get all the time about golf being expensive. And it is, but it doesn't have to be. And it's a similar kind of thing. Golf can be, in some ways, quite boring, but it also can be really good fun. If you go and play golf with a few friends and play 9 holes and have a laugh, it can be really fun. Andy Worrell, he's a new member, I think, because he's got the weight. Yeah, he's a new member, so welcome. What's your favourite brand of golf clothing?
It's asking me?
Yeah.
Nike?
Yeah. It took you a while to answer.
But... No, it's just like, he's actually asking me, yeah, Nike. What have people said anything?
No, no one's...
Oh, that was just a question for us.
Yeah.
I must admit, though, I used to wear a lot of Nike, but I used to also wear a lot of Jay Lindenberg.
Yeah, I did.
When it first came out, it was like, I had the sweatbands, I had the belts, I had the pinstriped trousers, I had the big bridge across my back, and then I
grew up. That was like the mid to early 2000s, wasn't it?
I was about 11, yeah. 11, well, no, maybe a bit older.
A bit older than that.
14, 15. It's pretty expensive, though.
It was so dear.
Anyway.
Right, okay. I should get these questions probably ready before we start recording.
I like this. This is just like raw, isn't it?
Just chilling. I've got a can of Monster. Not sponsored, but I really like the...
But if anyone is listening for Monster...
Monster. Like it's the Monster Energy Ultra Red Sugar-Free, which is why I don't feel so bad drinking early on in the morning. I wouldn't drink sugar so early in the morning, but sugar-free is okay. Robert Ray, he's also a new member. He's got a little waving kind of emoji next to his name. How do you know when to replace your equipment and how often? I'm going to throw a curveball at you here. I don't think most golfers need to replace their equipment in the, I don't want to say lifetime, but in a good 15 years, 20 years, unless they want to.
Yeah. They don't have to.
You don't have to.
Equipment doesn't wear, unless you are beating a lot of golf balls, you know.
Wedges would if you're playing a lot.
A lot of golf, you know. Putters are never going to wear. Drivers aren't really ever going to wear. There's a few. If you are just a standard 15 to 18 handicapper and playing once a week, maybe even twice a week, you're probably going to get 10, 15 years out of your equipment. If you are an up-and-coming junior tour player, whatever it may be, and you are smashing hundreds of golf balls every day. I always remember I bought a set of clubs. I feel like I brought this up in the podcast before. I bought a set of clubs off Chris Hansen years ago. Chris Hansen's a European tour player, and went to college together. And he had a set of Mizuno TP9 bladed irons, and I bought them off him secondhand. And the 8 iron, or the 7 iron, one of the two, had the most consistent strike pattern out in the middle I've ever seen in my life. Like, the middle of the club face was black. It was worn out. There was hardly any groove left because he was a dedicated golfer and practiced a lot and hit a lot of golf balls. I remember when I bought those clubs off him at college, I used to go back home at to my local golf club, and people would see the 8-iron or the 7-iron worn out. I would say, oh my God, you're hitting a lot of golf balls at college. I'm like, oh yeah, 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 I'm getting a few. But obviously, it wasn't me. On that instance, yeah, you would start to see performance dip off, but that is an extreme level where he's probably hitting 1,000 golf balls a week at that stage.
I did a very similar thing. I bought a set of second-hand Titleist 690 MB blades, probably in 2005 or 6 or something. And they were from the pro shop I used to work at. But certainly the mid-irons had proper round circles in the middle. It was like rust, but dark. But just the chrome was just brought off them. And it wasn't down to me, because obviously I bought them second-hand. But it did look nice in your bag. And then people saw me hit him. I'm like, well, that doesn't quite work.
Doesn't add up.
Thomas Muller has asked, not the footballer, I don't think. Oh, actually, wait there. No, it's not. I said he's actually got a picture, his header, there's football, but it's not actually the Thomas Muller. He said, novelty head covers cool or not cool? There's one exception to the rule.
Well, there is. I think novelty, if they've got a purpose, if they've got a bit of heritage,
Or if a child's bought one for Christmas for you, that'd be quite cool or something. No?
I don't know. If my kids bought me one, I'd be like, oh, thanks. I wouldn't use it.
This guy's got no heart.
I wouldn't use it. If it's got some meaning, so obviously Tiger's head cover, Frank, he's got his own bloody name.
Rory's got the dog as well.
Rory's got the dog. But I feel like I don't know why. Like, why has Rory got the dog?
Why not?
Because Tiger had the Tiger.
I used to have one. Guess what I used to have? You won't guess. There's no point in me asking to guess.
Pitbull.
No. The Retief Goose and Goose.
Oh my God, yeah. Did you have that? Honestly?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Saying that, though, I've kind of got a bit of a novelty head cover on my driver at the moment.
Haven't you got Rick Shields on your head cover? That's the worst thing ever.
I've got a picture of me with my Nike hat on and my beard.
Oh, yeah.
Someone designed for me.
So, yeah.
But that's got meaning. If I suddenly put a gopher head cover on my clubs, yeah, or a bloody beaver or a frog or an elephant.
There's one person that comes to mind with novelty head covers. Someone that you're friendly with. Used to be a lot on the channel.
Who?
Rob Potter.
All right.
He's got a pie.
Yeah, I'm not. they're bloody, yeah.
No comment, Rob, if you're listening.
Yeah, no comment. I like it. It's if you want to use it, use it. But I'm not the biggest fan.
I think a lot of people use them less probably these days because they want to flex with the head cover they've got. So if you've got a sim, for example, you want people to know you've got a sim.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever, an F9 or whatever. I think it's more acceptable like a 3-wood because it's quite cool if you see someone with like a random head cover, maybe not like a novelty one or such, but like a golf club.
Well,
or
actually,
something.
You know what though? I'm going to question it. What classifies as novelty?
I think novelty is like an animal or like a character or something. Yeah. Whereas like a golf club or an open or a Masters.
Correct. Yeah. Because I've got open ones and Masters ones that I've used in the past, but I wouldn't class those as novelty. But like say animals or like a dice or
yeah. But if you want them, let's not hate on them, but if you want them, get them.
So somebody's listening now, driving along in the car, thinking they've got a bloody elephant head cover on the driver, a dog on the 3-wood, and a pigeon on the rescue, and then they've got iron head covers, they've got everything fitted bar the irons.
Yeah.
They're thinking,
thanks for listening.
I know, and they're not on Facebook, they're not going to be very much included, are they?
They're included for listening. That's all that matters.
they were listening.
Right. Let me find another good one. All right. Okay. Somebody asked, and I can't find his name now or her name. I think it was a guy, though. Basically saying, who do you think is going to win the majors this year? And I'll be honest. I sometimes think when people try and guess the major winners, it's just literally a guess. How do I know somebody playing well when the Open's on? I know you can go off who's played well at the Open before. You can go like a Ricky Fowler, a Tommy, Rory. But I don't know.
Let's do this now. I want stickies.
So Rick just did like a hand movement to say, give me that. And I've got a dart flight in my hand. And I went to pass him the dart flight. He wants the paper, not the dart flight.
Right, I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. 2 stickies. We'll keep these on the desk all year. Who's going to win the majors?
Okay, so the first up is the Masters.
Are you saying these out loud?
Oh, why not? Because then people know.
Well, let me write them down first, and then you can write yours down.
Right, okay.
What's the second one?
US
Open.
No, is it not the Open?
No, Open's last.
Is it?
Open's at Royal St. George's this year.
Let me Google it. Should really know this.
It goes US Open, then PGA.
Right.
So US Open, I'm going to go with... Then...
Yeah, you got it right. And then last is the...
PGA, I'm going to go... To be fair, I'm not being too ambitious here.
Because I just read mine out then, and then...
No.
Oh, well, I write mine down.
Because I don't want you to copy mine. Right, I've written mine down. You can hear the paper. Guy's going to write his down. It is hard to do this, but I think if we keep these on the desk and each major that comes up, we'll see
who we guessed. But are we reading them out, though, now to the listeners?
Yeah, but I read out to listeners, but I didn't want you to copy mine.
Oh, right. I'm not going
to
copy yours.
Imagine if you got them exactly the same.
Okay, I'm going to go... So Masters is first, and then it's...
You can read yours out now, because I've obviously...
Okay, then. So Masters, I am going to go with Rory.
I am going to go with... Rory also.
Nice. I think he's due one, isn't he?
I think he's due one. He had a phenomenal 2019, and it's the one that he's obviously desperate to win. So I love those memes where he's been on Amazon and he sees a green jacket for sale and buys it. Go on then. US Open.
Brooks.
I have gone for Justin Thomas.
Actually, I think the PGA's first. But it doesn't matter. So, Justin Thomas.
Oh, we need to find out then. Let me have a look.
I think the PGA.
I'm sure. Golf. I should know this, shouldn't I?
It is. It's the PGA because it moved, isn't it?
Go on then.
So, for PGA, I am going to go. Tony Finau.
Whoa. You're right. So, sorry. So, it's Masters. Then the PGA, then the US Open, then the Open. All right, so I'm still going to go JT for US Open.
I've forgot who I've said already now. So I've gone Rory.
You said Rory for the Masters.
Yeah.
You said Brooks for...
Yeah, the US, which obviously was the third event. That's fine, I could put like that. And then I put Tony Finau.
So I'm going to go Brooks for the PGA. Then we've just got the Open left.
I feel like this is probably just nonsense, but I feel like the PGA, because it's like, in my mind, the worst of the four majors, I feel like you've got more chance of not an underdog winning, but like I wouldn't necessarily say Tony Finau for the Masters, but I feel like for the USPGA, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I like him, he's cool. That's another thing we'll talk about in a minute, actually. Cool golfers. We discussed this yesterday. So the Open, then, is at St. George's this time.
Which Darren Clark won last time for no real reference. Right, okay. I don't think that's going to make a difference to who you pick.
So for the Open, why don't we do a realistic and a wild card? Because it's like our major, if you like.
Okay.
So I'm going to go realistic, John Rahm.
Okay.
And I'm going to go wild card, not a ridiculous wild card, but quite a bit of an outsider, Matt Wallace.
Ooh. Oh, you know what? Sorry. I'm going to change my mind. I've just thought of another player that I think is going to win one. Right.
I think I might know you're going to pick it.
So for the Open, who I think is going to win it is Tiger.
Oh, wow.
Who I think is a wild card, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Mm, yeah, good shout.
I've changed JT from winning the US Open to Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay, that's, yeah. And then I'm going to have one more. I'm going to have a notable other. So I just want to cover my back here.
By the time we finished, we'd have picked every golfer.
My other notable, just for any major, is Xander Schauffele. Because he's been up there a lot. And he's like, he's one of those golfers that I still thinks about. He's number nine in the world now.
Don't think of him much yet.
And I don't think of him as being. He's above Tommy, world ranking.
Yeah, exactly. So let's recap. Rory for the Masters for me.
And for me.
Brooks for the PGA.
Tony Finau.
Tommy Fleetwood for the US Open.
Brooks Koepka.
Tiger for the Open.
And I've already forgotten who I went with. John Rahm.
And Fitz for the wild card. Fitzpatrick.
I went with Matt Wallace as a wild card.
So guys, we'll revisit that after the Open Championship and see how we go. We can revisit every Open. Every major. Cool golfers. We did discuss it briefly, but I think that's a different topic.
Yeah.
Different topic for a different time. Guys, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Make sure you do check out the Rick Shields Facebook page, who is a kind sponsor of this fantastic podcast. And make sure you are staying tuned to the YouTube channel, because loads of videos are going to be coming out in January/February. And we'll see you soon.
Yep, just a last thing. Please email us. podcast@rickshields.com. Send us an email and we'll may
you
shout
you out. Become the listener of the week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.